Good to see you guys in the house of the Lord this morning. You ready?
Ready.
You ready?
Ready?
You ready? Hey, grab your Bibles. Let's go on over to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. And what I want to tell you is, like, when you're going to the book of Nehemiah, what you do is just open your Bible in the middle, like that, and then go over to the left a few books. And I like to tell people about that because I forget sometimes about when I first started and I gave my life to the Lord and I started going to church and I was studying the Bible and stuff like that. And the pastor would say, turn to Jeremiah. And I would be in the New Testament. And I'm looking for any kind of thing that started with a J. So if it was Jude, John, James, any of that, I just stayed there. I didn't even go to Jeremiah because I didn't know where it was at. And I was just praying to God that he wouldn't count on me to read a verse out of Jeremiah when I was in the book of James. So if you've ever been there, raise your hand. Come on now. We're all trying to learn and figure it out. We're there now. So open your Bible in the middle and just head on over to the left to the book of Jeremiah. I'm so excited about this message this morning because I had two messages planned this morning. I had them written out actually, and it was on Wednesday that God flipped the switch on the whole message and he said, I want you to get rid of this, which is a pastor's worst nightmare when you got a message prepared and then he's just like, it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to get out of there. And so he was really speaking this word to me, and I believe it's for somebody here today. Now, I don't know if this is going to be for everybody in here today, but I believe if you're here, what God is going to say today is going to speak to you right where you're at. I promise you, this is for somebody and it's going to change their life. They're going to leave here different than they came in here because of what God has got. I guarantee you that. Do you believe it? Yeah. He's going to do it. And so I don't know who this message is for, but I know it's going to be talking to somebody. So if you're ready, would you let the Lord know and say, I am here. And I'm ready. I'm here. And I'm ready. Okay, so let's get into Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read a couple of sections and I'm going to set the context of where we're going this morning. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. Verse 3, the fish gate was rebuilt. Verse 6, the Jeshana gate was repaired. Verse 13, the valley gate was repaired. Verse 14, the dung gate was repaired. And verse 15, the fountain gate was repaired. And then it ends with verse 28, the horse gate. They made repairs there. And then it ends in verse 32 with the sheep gate. And what I want to do is I want to talk to you guys on this subject, strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. You guys ready to open up in prayer? I hope so. I'm doing it anyway. I don't care if you guys, I'm going to do it. I don't care if you guys don't want to pray. I'm going to do it. Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus that you split seas, God, that you remove mountains, that you get every obstacle out of our way, God. Open our hearts to hear a word from you today. Open up our eyes so we can see every prophetic message that you got for us, Lord, for our lives. Lord, your word is alive and powerful. And we stand on it, God. We trust in it. We believe in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Strengthen what remains. Just say it with me. Strengthen what remains. So in Nehemiah, when we're going through the book of Nehemiah in chapter 3, what we know about Nehemiah is that he was a cupbearer to the king of Artaxerxes. And God had put a plan and a vision in his heart to go back and rebuild the walls that were torn down by the enemy, Babylon. And when they tore down those walls, it was to get to the temple so they could tear down the temple. Now, the temple was their place of worship, fellowship, where they got together with God and they connected with him. And so when the enemy comes against you and he's busting down those walls of faith and trust and hope, it's to get to your worship. See, the devil doesn't want you to have worship for the Lord because there's power in worship. But sometimes there's war in worship. You hear what I'm saying? And so we got to have these gates of faith and trust around us. And so the enemy had destroyed those and destroyed the temple. And as Nehemiah goes back to rebuild this wall, it says the villains had crept into his vision. Do you guys remember last week's message? How sometimes a villain will creep into your vision. How a villain will come up and mock and ridicule you. And you remember he'll say things to you like you're a bad mom. mom, you're a worthless father, you've always been a blow it, you're never going to figure it out. And Nehemiah, when the villains came in the vision, what Nehemiah did was, is he reminded who was in charge of the whole thing, which was God. See, it was God that put that in him. And sometimes people may say stuff about you and it might even be true. You know, sometimes, what do they say? There's always a little bit of truth in everything. And so maybe we do have some issues and maybe there are some problems and maybe we've got a little messed up past. But I'll tell you what God started in you, he's going to finish in you. Amen. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't even matter what you say about your own self. The word of God says, he says, the good work I've begun in you, I will complete in you. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you guys glad that he doesn't give up? God doesn't give up on you. I might have gave up on you a long time ago. And you might have given up on me. But you know why I'm here today? Because I got someone in my life that's never left me. God's good like that. What he begins in you, he's going to finish in you. And so in chapter 3, this is not typically a passage that somebody would preach on. If they were asking me to come and teach at their church, they wouldn't say, would you speak out of chapter 3 of Nehemiah? Because it's not, when you look at it, it's a bunch of names that seem like they don't matter. 2,500 years ago, these people don't watch what you're watching on Netflix. They're not listening to what you're listening to. They're not downloading what you're downloading. But when you look at it, and I want to encourage you to do this because we're not going to go through the whole chapter. When you look at this, I want you to understand something about what you're seeing. Do you guys see all the names there? Just, can you see it? Are you got your Bibles open? Kind of look through it for a second. I want you to see what I'm talking about. It's just a bunch of names. And they're working. They're building the gates back up at Jerusalem. But the reason why those names are there that do not matter much to you is because they matter much to your God. And see, I want you to remember this, that when you come to these genealogies of, man, why is this here? It's because every name matters to God. And I tell you that because I don't want you to make the mistake like you came in here today and your name does not matter. Your name matters to God. He knows you. He sees you. He knows what you've gone through and what you're going through because every name matters to God. David said this in Psalm chapter 139, verse 16. David said, your eyes saw my unformed body and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Oh, how precious to me your thoughts are, God. And then in 147:4, he said, you determine the numbers of the stars and you call them each by name. God knows you. Every name matters. Don't make the mistake like your name doesn't matter. You know, the Bible tells us that he knows every hair on your head. Every time I say that, I feel like somebody's checking me out and they're looking at my head. But I want to tell you, whether I got some or none, God knows every hair on my head. He knows everything about us. And our names matter to God. They mean something to him. So we walk around, we think that we don't have much value because we're trying to get our value from other people and places. But I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, your name matters. And we don't want to make that mistake. Amen. You mean something to God. And so in Nehemiah, when they start to rebuild from the battle, this is what caught my eye. And this is what I couldn't let go. It was just like, God kept bringing this up to my attention. When we look at this and you look at what they're using to build up what's been torn down, they're not bringing in any new material. Now, yes, Asaph had supplied some wood for the gates. We know that. But this wall has been busted down, broken, demolished. And when they go to rebuilding, check this out. God left something there for them to begin again. And I guess what I'm saying is that when we're dealing with setback, and when we're dealing with loss, and when we're dealing with breakdown, God will leave you something behind to strengthen what you got left. Did you just hear what I said? God will leave something behind for you to strengthen what you got left. But our problem is strengthening the areas of our life that are broke down. It's not because there's nothing around, but because we fail to miss what's there because of what has been taken or what has been lost. I've got friends that have gone out of prison. They had spent some time in prison. And when they come out of prison, they miss the life they got now. because of all the time that they had lost before. When your marriage is on life support for the last 7 years, and you guys are just trying to make it, trying to figure stuff out, and it's kind of a mess, you can miss what God has for you right now because of all the junk that you have lost before. You can miss the stuff that God's got now because of the stuff that you have before. There's people right now that when they're going to pursue a good, godly relationship, they'll miss the people and the opportunities around them because of the 20 years of abuse behind them. And here God's like, look, I'm trying to show you something. Out of all the rubble, out of everything that you've gone through and all the enemy is broken down, I'm trying to tell you that I'm going to leave something left that you can use to replace what you've lost. Are you guys seeing it? God will always leave you something left to repair what you have lost. And so that's why I want to talk to you guys this morning on strengthening what remains. Say it with me one more time. Strengthen what remains. Strengthening what remains. So how do we strengthen what remains when it seems like nothing remains? So if you're taking notes, I want you to take this down. Write this down if you guys are taking notes. And I pray that you guys are taking notes. Number one, you strengthen yourself in the Lord before you strengthen anything in your life. You strengthen yourself in the Lord before you strengthen anything in your life. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had come back to his camp after he left somewhere. And when he came back to his camp with his fellas, his wife, his kids, his family, his property, everything was gone. And whatever was left was burnt. And so David literally came back to a camp of nothing. And the place that this place was called was the camp of Ziklag. Him coming back to Ziklag. Now, the interesting thing about Ziklag is the name of it. It means windy road, crooked road. And whether you realize it or not, on this side of heaven, you're still in Ziklag. Because we've got windy roads, crooked roads, and potholes. Because there's times in your life where you think you've got everything figured out. And then the next thing you know, you hit another curve or a hole in the road. You love your job. It's the most secure thing you ever had in your life. And then you're in the unemployment line next month. You're feeling pretty healthy 1 month. And then the next, you're sick. We can have the business doing great, making money. We're finally making money. We're doing good. And then the next minute, you're trying to get out of it to see how you can salvage what you got left. Let me tell you something. Every one of us lives in a place of Ziklag. But you know what's cool about that? God says there's a day coming where he's going to take those streets that have been all crooked and busted up and potholed out, and he's going to make straight those streets. In fact, he's going to take those streets and he's going to pave them with gold. Thank you, Jesus. I can't wait for it, my own self. But God's going to make it straight. He's going to do something different. He's going to do a new work. And so David comes to this place, Ziklag, and everything's messed up. And so this is what he does. It says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, now David was greatly distressed. So this is a message for somebody who knows how to go through something. You're discouraged, distressed, and depressed. Have you ever been there? David's there. You talk about a guy that's got some issues. He's lost everything that he's got. And so it says that he shows up. And it says, now when David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. That's pretty messed up. Not only did you lose everything, but then they blame you over it. Because sometimes people will blame you because it's easier than to sympathize with you. Sometimes people would want to say that it's your fault and come alongside of you and fix it. And so David is in that season. And it says, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David, I love that. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. So you know what? We got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord before we try to strengthen anything that's left in our life. This is where it all begins. This is where it starts, because you're going to go through a season of Ziklag if you're not there right now. And you've got to strengthen yourself. It said he strengthened himself. He didn't have the pastor texting him saying, hey, I hope you have a great week. Here's a Bible verse I want to tell you. I want to encourage you. He didn't have a friend coming over to the house and giving him some encouraging words. He didn't have people around him. He didn't have children that were coming up around him and saying, "Dad, Mom, it's going to be okay. God's going to make a way." He was the sole guy. Have you ever felt like you're the one and you've got to bring the encouragement and then the encouragement's gone? And he says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. And we got to do that. We can't always wait on somebody to strengthen you. You can't always hope that someone's going to come alongside of you and give you what you need when you need it. Whether it's your wife, because she doesn't know everything that you're going through. Even though you guys have been married together, she might know something's wrong with you. But she may not know what that thing is. And the same thing with us. As husbands, we're always trying to fix stuff. And we don't know how to fix nothing. We want to fix it. We want to make things better. But we don't know how. And so there's going to be times where your friends, your family can't get involved and strengthen you. You know, I had a friend come over here this week, and he brought his two kids, and we were up on the roof, and he grabbed one. His kid found a dumbbell on the roof, but it was the kind of dumbbell from the 70s where it's got that plastic coating on it, and it's got concrete in the middle. Do you guys remember Jane Fonda? In the Buns of Steel in the 80s and the you know what I'm talking about? Jane Fonda. And she would use those little plastic weights and stuff like that. Well, one of them's up on our roof. And that thing is all messed up, broken and everything. And he grabbed it as a little weight and he says, "Hey, what's this?" And I said, "That's a weight, man. That's what we used to work out with back in the day when we had dinosaurs. It was like this little thing right here." And I said, "You can't use that right now. That's not that we don't use that kind of stuff right now. That thing's all busted up and it's no good. You ain't gonna get strong with that." And what I'm trying to tell you today is that some of you have been trying to get strong some other different ways, and you're gonna have to change it up. And you're gonna have to put that strength and develop it in the Lord, your own self. When nobody's trying to help you, when there's nobody there for you, you can do this. Because I'll tell you something, the devil can take things away from you. People can take things away from you. Life can take things away from you. But the last thing, the one thing that they cannot take away from you is your ability for you to strengthen you in the Lord. And so what we want to do is, listen, when nothing seems to remain, the one thing that remains for sure is our ability to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. David said, "From whence does my help come from? I look under the hills. My help comes from the maker of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Thank you, God. We gotta strengthen ourselves in the Lord. That means you might have to get yourself to church without your wife having to remind you. That might mean that you plan your schedule around the Lord instead of the Lord around your schedule. Hello. Because I'll tell you this, you're always gonna do what's important to you. You're always gonna find time to go camping. You're always gonna go find time to do whatever you want to do. But we gotta find time to strengthen ourselves up in the Lord. I mean, if anything, I mean, we gotta seek God before something goes wrong. Did you hear what I said? Because you're looking to God when everything's going to garbage. But the problem with that is, hey, you can flip the switch. And so when the devil comes on Saturday, you can say, "Hey, I've already been meeting with the Lord since last Sunday. So I don't care. So you're going to do whatever you want to do. But God's got me because I'm strengthening myself." Say, strengthen myself. Strengthen myself, strengthen myself, strengthen myself. And so that's what we do. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We're not going to wait for somebody else to do it. We're going to take the initiative and do it our own self. But then we got to come to this next section in our life, and that's to let the past go so we can focus on what God is doing in the present. How many of you guys know anybody that when they get mad or they get upset, they don't just get hysterical, they get historical? Anybody? Anybody know somebody that can tell you everything about you even before you were born? And they can just bring up every little thing that's ever happened and you're like, "Good Lord, where did that come from? Like, I thought we forgot about that years ago." They get upset and they can just bring up anything. And a lot of times it starts when they say to you, "Do you know what today is?" And whenever, hey, I'm just going to tell you right now, whenever they ask you, "Do you know what today is?" You just say yes. You just say yes. And not only do you say yes, you're like, "I do. This isn't, yeah. It's an amazing day. And then you don't want the next question. You know, you're praying that you can change the subject, because the next question that comes is, really, what's today? What is today? What is this? And now you're stuck, and you're just like, I don't know, Groundhog Day. You're like busted. And they're like, no, this is our 5-year anniversary of getting the first Slurpee together. You don't remember that? You don't love me. You hate me. You don't remember nothing. You're always off in your own world. Like, you know, you just... And you're like, man, I forgot about our 5-year Slurpee anniversary. My bad. My bad. That's totally me. I get like that. I'm historical with Vicky when I get hysterical. I walked into Walmart the other couple Februarys ago, and it was all hearts and balloons. And I walked into Walmart with her, and I said, do you know what month this is? And she says, yeah, it's February. And my wife is the least romantic person in the world. She's got strengths in other areas, but not this one. And so we go in there, and I just said, yeah, it's February. I said, but you know, 24 years ago, this is when we got hooked up. You don't remember that? And she's like, how am I going to remember the month 24 years ago? I don't remember any of that stuff. And I'm just like, oh man, you just don't even care. You don't love me. And I just start saying all this other stuff, because she goes, sometimes we can just start remembering all this other stuff. But look, in our life, when it comes to rebuilding what remains, we can focus on what's been lost over what we got left. But this is what God says. But as you walk with God, listen to this. As you guys walk with God, this is why it's so important to let it go. Is because when you walk with God, he says that your ending with him will be better than the beginning. That your end will be better than the beginning. Someone needs to hear that again. As you're walking with God, the end with him is going to be better than your beginning. This is what he said to Job in Job chapter 8, verse 7. If any man has lost anything in his life, it's Job. And you may not even be knowing much about your Bible, but you know about Job. And he says to Job, and though you started with little, you will end with much. And then in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, God says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have devoured. And you know what? Somebody should be praising God right now, because I guarantee you, you're in a better place today than you were years ago. God has blessed you. God has taken care of you. God has brought you out of some horrible circumstances, and you can see that your ending is going to be better than your beginning. So whatever happened, whatever the locusts have stole from you, whether you grew up in an abusive house, whether you've been suffering years of loss and hurt over that loss in your life, whatever has been broken down, suffering the effects of your addiction that you were hooked up onto for all them years, God says, when you look back at this stuff, when you look back at this stuff, he says, I want you to know something. Your ending is going to be better than your beginning. I had a counseling session years ago with the pastor, and we were talking about some things in my life and just stuff. You know, I grew up as a, I'm not going to go into my testimony. I don't want to go into all that, but any single, nobody had brothers or sisters, anybody, only child. And so when you're growing up as an only child, and you know, your mom's on dope, and things can get kind of weird and messed up. And anyways, you know, you become the parent when you're like 5. And so there's just a lot of stuff there. And I remember talking to him, because he saw my family, saw what was going on in my life. And he says, Jason, I want to tell you something. Because I had a lot of issues going on that I never really dealt with. He goes, I want to tell you something. And this changed my life. He said, I'm going to tell you, look at your life right now. Look at what God has done in your life. You've got a wife of over 20-something years. You got 4 beautiful kids. And now, not only do I got a beautiful wife and 4 beautiful kids, but my kids are like hillbillies, so they're having kids every year. I got, thank you, Jesus. Come on, hey. Thank you for hillbillies. Yeah, I got 8 grandbabies now. And not only that, I pastor the best church in the world. And we may be small, but we got a big vision. And that's why we're here today. And so I started thinking, he said, Jason, God is going to take, look at what he's done. All those years that have been destroyed by the locust, he's returning it to you tenfold. And I was like, thank you, God, because the ending's going to be better than the beginning. Check this out. Not only does God promise to take us out of devastation, but he promised us to make up lost time. How cool is that? God doesn't just take you out of that stuff. He says, I'm going to make up for it. And I don't know if that's hard for some of you to believe or get. But if you listen to what the Word of God says, he says, I'm going to do something into you so great and so amazing that you wouldn't even believe it was going on if somebody told you, because with me, the ending's always better than the beginning. Thank you, Jesus. And so we got to focus, listen, we got to focus on what God is doing now and let that stuff go that's happened, because he's doing a new work in you. Can you guys see it?
Yes.
Are you experiencing it?
Yes.
You guys got to keep your eyes open so you don't miss what's right in front of you if you're going to strengthen what remains. And this is the last one. Let's go to number three. I love this one. You got to use what you got left to step out on faith in what's been lost. You got to use what is left to step out on faith over what you've lost. And some of you are like, man, I've lost my family. My family's been broken up. My kids are gone. This stuff is going on in my life. Everything is a mess. It's crazy. You got to step out on what's left. Did you hear me? Over what's been lost. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 52, I'm not going to recount the whole story, but I won't tell you the whole story, but I'm going to give you the backdrop on it. In Mark chapter 10, help me, Jesus. Mark chapter 10. There's a man in that passage, and his name is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And Bartimaeus has got an issue. He's blind. And with that blindness, it says that for his job, he became a beggar. Now, on the surface level, you're like, well, so what? That ain't got nothing to do with me. But it actually does. In fact, it's got a lot to do with you. Because we do, oftentimes what we do is what blind Bartimaeus does. He lowered his expectations in life according to what he could do in life. I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes you lower your expectations in life because of your limitations. So there's people that some of you guys won't hang out with other people that got their life really together because you know that you do not. And there's this tension. We don't want to be around people like that who got it going on, because then it feels awkward, and we don't want people to know who we are and the issues that we got. And so we kind of hang out with a certain group that keeps us in a certain place. Am I making sense? You'll hang out with a certain group in a certain place because you lower your expectations according to your limitations. That's why there's some people that have no expectations for some of their children to go any farther than where their children have gone because of their limitations as a parent. But I will tell you this, God will take your limitations and turn them into qualifications, and I promise you this. I'm going to show you something cool about this. So Bartimaeus is out there, and it's during this time where if you've had something wrong with you, you hid it from everybody else, because if they found out what was wrong with you, they'd want nothing to do with you. Not only would they want nothing to do with you, this is a time where they would just kill you. That's why babies that were orphaned and widows, handicapped people, things like that, they would throw them out to the side of the street back then. There was no welfare. And they would kill you. So you know what people did? They would go around and they would hide what was wrong with them. Because if somebody found out what was wrong with them, they wouldn't want nothing to do with them. I wonder if you know anybody like that. Where they're hiding stuff because they don't want people to know about it. Because if people knew about it, then it wouldn't go good. And so Bartimaeus has got no choice. He's blind and he's out there and he's lowered his expectations according to his limitations. And the Bible says that he's out there begging. And as he's out there begging in the dirt, he heard. The Bible said he heard that the Lord was going by. That's kind of interesting. Did you know Jesus was going to walk on right on by that blind man and not even heal him? Jesus ain't blind. Bartimaeus is blind. We read stuff so quick and we just go over this stuff. We don't want to look at it like, oh, Jesus healed everybody. No, he didn't. But you know who he did heal? The people who would stand up and say, hey, I'm here. Hey, you're walking by and I need you for a second. I need you to stop. And he heard. And it says he cried out, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And every time you're going to have to go home and read this. Every time he cried out to Jesus, you know what the people around him did? Told him to shut up. Shut up. Don't be screaming out that Jesus business here. You got more mess than anybody can handle, and Jesus ain't going to do nothing for you. You going to that church ain't going to do you no good. You reading that Bible ain't going to do you no good. You praying and fellowshipping and word, shut up. But you know what happened when they told him to shut up? That's when he began to shout. Read it, read it, read it, read it. You got to love him. You got to love this guy. Because he said, okay, you want to shut me down? I'm going to shout it out. And the Bible says that he started shouting more, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus stopped still. You want to get the Lord's attention? Cry out to him. Stop still. And it was at that moment where Jesus stepped out and he healed this man. And it all happened because of this. Although this man had lost his sight, he didn't lose his hearing. Thank God that when stuff starts breaking down, it doesn't happen all at once. Amen?
Yes.
And he took what he had left and he got healing on what had been lost, his sight. And so this is what I want to tell you guys this morning. You guys, worship team, come on up here. We're going to close out with this. Is that God will use what we have left to rebuild what's lost. God will use it. So I don't know where you're at today. And I don't know what's been taken from you. I don't know what you've gone through this last year. But whatever it is, God has left something there for you to rebuild again, to begin again. Because he always leaves something left. When these guys started getting on this wall and they were building this wall from the rubble and the battle, they needed nothing new. What they needed to do was take what was left and strengthen it. They had to strengthen what remains. But the good news about that is God always leaves you something left for what's been lost. And so listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to strengthen what's left. We're going to begin by strengthening ourselves in the Lord. So you're going to have to make a commitment to do some things different than maybe that you've been doing them. And strengthen yourself, yourself. Don't wait for me to come over. Don't wait for somebody else to come over. Don't wait for another man to come over and disciple you and teach you how to be a man in God. Because you know what? Sometimes you got to be that man for somebody else. And you will waste your life waiting for somebody to pour into you when you can be pouring into your own self. And I mean that, and I say that with love. If there's somebody here and you're just like, man, I wish somebody would encourage me. I wish somebody would disciple me. I wish somebody would teach me. I wish somebody would show me. Man, I don't know how to raise these kids like this, and everything's all messed up. You know what you can do? You can strengthen yourself in the Lord and be that man that you want to come to you. And so we're going to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we're not going to focus on that stuff that's been taken, the loss that we can't seem to get over. Because God says, listen, I'm going to do something in you. And it's not that locusts haven't taken nothing from you. It's not that the devil hasn't come in. It's not that life has not happened in Ziklag. God knows it has. And that's why he's saying, I'm going to come alongside of you. And the ending is going to be better than the beginning. And so we want to focus on what God is doing. And press into that. and be obedient and start living a life that says, okay, God, I want you to use me however you want, and I'm going to keep my eyes open to what you got and what you're doing, and I'm going to step out on that. I'm going to step out on what I have left over what I've lost in faith, coming to God. And so this morning, I want to pray for you. If you guys would stand with me, let's close out in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that everybody, Father, whoever is here this morning, for who this message was for, Lord, I know you changed it for somebody. I know this wasn't by accident that you flipped the switch on this message on Wednesday. God, forever who's here that is broken, that experienced setback, who's been struggling with some loss over the last years, God, that you breathe a new, fresh life in them today through this word, that you will always leave something left to strengthen what's been lost. And so, Father, I pray individually as we come to you, God, that you start working in our life in such a way that we see what's there, God, and we build off of that. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here this morning and maybe you don't have a relationship with this Jesus, have been broken, and you are dealing with loss, and you don't know how to handle it, maybe sometimes you do some things that you wish you wouldn't have done, but it's all you know how to do. I know not everybody would understand that, but sometimes there's some of us who, when we don't know what to do, God, we do things that we don't want to do, and so that's the only way we can deal with certain stuff, and so we need you, Jesus. And so I'm praying for that one. Don't know Christ, this is your chance to come to him now in faith. A loving God who wants to restore what the locusts have taken. And so, in order to come into what God has for us, we've got to come into him. And if you haven't made that relationship, that crossover, this is your chance right now. And this is how we do it. Just pray with me. Father, forgive us of our sins. We turn to Christ and we pray and put our faith in him. Wash us, cleanse us, make us new. God, and may we take this life and may we walk in boldness in what you are going to do now. Thank you, God, for whatever you've brought us through. But Father, we look to what you're going to bring us into. Thank you.